word happy, Phillips uses that also, but the word is much more in the biblical meaning of blessed. It's a foreign word, it's an import. We didn't have it in our language. We shouldn't feel embarrassed about it. Most languages don't have it in their language. The Latin had a language maledicte, to curse somebody, but it had no word for blessed. Benedicte came after the New Testament came into the Latin language. The sense of blessedness can be ours even when we aren't happy, and we can be thankful for that. One of the hymns that I've been singing all day, been singing all week, and could be most ungracious in the light of God's great blessings to the village, but for the kind of unnatural life that is mine and living with it, for the kind of anguish and grief I know as a family person, for the kind of destruction of normal relationships that it's required of me, I've been singing, "Though my work may seem unblessed and my lot appointed dreary, when at eve I go to rest from my labor tired and weary, at thy word I will return. To my work I will each morn, at thy word with joy return." And that's what we can do when we have the blessing, even when it's a rough place. Tonight I want to speak on the communion of saints that Jesus addresses with these words. The Sermon on the Mount is not addressed to the nations. Alfred North Whitehead is quite right when he says the nations would blow up if they tried to keep it. It's part of the continuing tensions in our living with our Lord, how we relate to a world that does not know the blessing, and to we who are living in the blessing. But the blessing that is ours to share. It's ours to continue to keep in a encouragement of a communion of saints, in a group that continually builds one another up in their most holy faith, as Paul put it. This is our calling to one another. And this little phrase in the Apostles' Creed took a while to get there. It's the last phrase added in its history, and added first with the thought of the communion that is ours, that is expressed in that hymn, "Lead Kindly Light," by Cardinal Newman, on the communion that we have with those who have gone before us. And we are never just one generation in this blessing. We are aware of all those who shared in the blessing and who have gone before, and there is a kind of holy communion with them. Every communion that I am at is part of that also, when we celebrate in remembrance of me, "This do till I come," and those who have preceded us to be with him. We recall with all the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We don't depopulate heaven with a kind of doctrine about the life with Christ, that when you're dead, you're dead. We do know that Paul had that constant hope that I would rather depart to be with him. And blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. They are with him. And this sense of communion with them is why it was put there. But in Luther's language, in the time of persecution for the gospel's sake, it became much more that fellowship which is continually formed in the forgiveness of sins, that support group which we need if we're not to crumble on it. For we are an underground community to sabotage the works of Satan, who is still a god of this world, and who has taken captive the minds of men, lest they behold the beauty of God and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when this is our calling, there are going to be times that it's going to be tough, and when we need a special strength from each other. So the very first blessing that Jesus says is this blessedness that belongs to those who are the hungering and the thirsting, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the hunger and thirsting. This kind of longing that is ours because we are not yet what we shall be, we aren't even what we ought to be, and we certainly aren't what we wished we were. But we weren't what we once was. We are in the blessing of our Lord Jesus. And he is with us, even in the midst of this sense of our incompletion. There are Christians who claim they've arrived, they've got it made. They no longer even have to confess their sins. And I do not understand them, and I do not know them, and I have no real fellowship with them. Because Jesus says, when you think you see, then you're blind. It's when you know you're blind that I've come for you. And this continuing new coming to us is what he does do, as we hunger and thirst for right to happen on the earth, as the New English puts it. More than just our personal sanctification is talking about. It's talking about a whole world at peace with each other and with God and living in this blessedness. And that we haven't seen yet, have we? When I was in Norway under the occupation by the Nazis, we were asked to join with some of the Norwegian students from the University of Oslo when we came back into Oslo from up north where we were at the time of the invasion. We happened to be out in the country studying folk schools at Gjøvik at the time, and And so we got in the Battle of Jövik, and then our embassy sent for us, and we came back in. And they were just meeting for their first meeting to wonder how were they to form an underground in order to fight an invader who had simply had them beat on every side. It wasn't a chance to do much of anything. And Mary and I and Jennings Farrell, being outsiders, were asked for our perspective. And all these students were there, and part-time Fallon Stenson, who was the actual head leader, who now heads this outdoor museum up at Lillehammer, was the one who was chairman for the night. And we told them exactly what we were mocked for saying by somebody on Barbara Walters' program here a couple months ago, which infuriated me. He should have been there, and he was a Jew himself speaking, was a professor of journalism at Columbia, and he could be sassy as he was about, they hung around, they did very little until the armed forces of the Allies actually got there. That's exactly what we told them. Save your strength until there's enough power coming from without to make your activity real. But meanwhile, form your association so you know who you can trust. We said, stop this crazy thing of throwing spikes on the road to flatten some tires of buses with military men in them. It isn't worth you losing your life for. Find those you can trust and then work with them. We'll be having a man with us next year who will be visiting us, the father of Kari, who was with us here 2 years ago. And his trucks of his company with his father in charge, and they found these people that they could trust, and then the children played with the German soldiers and found those who hated Hitler and hated doing what they were doing in Norway, and they would like nothing better than to get out, and they tell their older brothers, this is the way it is with Fritz over there and company so-and-so, and they'd make contact with them. They tell them there'll be a truck at a certain corner coming into Oslo, and they'll get you out and take you over the Swedish border when you can get into Sweden. 3, 4, 5 at a time, but at the end of the war, there were 73,000 soldiers that they'd gotten over into Sweden that could be part of rebuilding of a better and different kind of Germany. But they needed each other and their support and encouragement in that. When we were in the prison camp under the Japanese, one of the first things we did was to form a congregation and elect a pastor. That wasn't because we didn't trust others who were there or didn't love the other missionaries or anything like that, but we needed a support group. We needed somebody who could surround us with love and concern in our time of need, and especially as we knew sicknesses would come, and we wanted a pastor, and we even wanted a congregation so they could anoint us and pray for us that we might be healed as illnesses would strike us. And for that reason, we formed a congregation. Eventually, we were even allowed to preach, but that came over a year later when we were actually kicked out of the union service because we proclaimed the forgiveness of sins to people who weren't converted. And they said this was wrong, and wasn't permitted, and therefore we weren't permitted to preach anymore. The Japanese thought it was so funny, they allowed us to have our own little service. And then when our own little service was organized even stronger, that support group, because we had that proclamation feeding us, continually knew of Christ coming to us in the forgiveness of sins and strengthening us for each other. But this kind of a support group is what we hope the village will be for the church. But if the village is to be that for the church, it must also have a support group within the village. And therefore we started the Fullness of God congregation, to be that kind of a community within the village, the permanent core that would be here over an extended period. Some of the lifestyle people have joined it, and they're always welcome. But wherever we go, we should belong there where we are, and you certainly are welcome to join here. But we do need times ourselves when we're part of a community like this, when we need each other for refreshment and cheer. I certainly have needed that this week when a very peculiar situation in my own kind of a life is very difficult to carry without some kind of support. And otherwise I cave in, which I do. And I sing a song like, well, my work may be unblessed, and God's given us all the money we've needed for this year and all the workers we've needed and so on to carry the village. But that still doesn't mean that in your own personal life there can't be real needs that make you, as I said, to Ted, the president of our congregation, to Werner, I'm sorry I ever got acquainted with this place. I wish I'd never had anything to do with it. This is the way I felt this week because of the situation that came up. And there can be times when there's just no support at all for people who are here for a longer period. No place to go unless there is a community within the community that gives itself to one another in that sense of being continually there for a support. And this is so essential. There was insistence that we'd be up here for Christmas, so we stayed for the Christmas. During that period, our house was destroyed by water, and who cared? Leo, Eustad, and Holly, Gilly, who are here. And that's it, period. And I was thankful for them. And that they did. In our own situation in Minneapolis, when I asked one of the fellows that's been a part of our fellowship at Holden Village and been in our home every Friday and oftentimes a lot of other nights, and he said, fine, but I'll have to charge you $10 for taking pictures of the mess, which he did. And he realized nobody really cared. It just was that way. It was a terrible year for me. Some of the kids who were a little different got together and they came over and gave us one Sunday in which we worked all day long, and I could get together some of the things that were fun, and before the day was over, they even put up $100 themselves, which is what I put out in order to get an ad on the particular radio that everybody listens to in the Twin Cities to get a Holden plug on that particular day that we were celebrating something at the village, and they'd celebrate there. But the sense of a community of support is what we all need, wherever we are. This is what makes tongue speaking take so much, is because at least there they feel they recognize each other and give each other support. A congregation as such is also a mission field. There are those in every congregation who just do not know what it's all about. They have no hunger and thirst. If there's a Bible study, they'll never be there. They'll come to church on Sunday morning because that's been a pattern of habit for them. If the pastor really preaches the gospel, they're really put out with him. He shouldn't say those things in the pulpit. They kind of feel that they ought to take a beating once a week for their sins, and that's what they get on Sunday morning. And now we're even going to go out and get a new batch. That kind of an attitude, and we have them in every church, and I'm always glad they're there. That's where they ought to be. Someday the Holy Spirit will reach them. But like one of my dearest friends in the ministry says, if it takes about 2,000 sermons in the gospel before we pastors start to hear it, what can we expect for our people? And this is right. But we do, who are in that hurt, you see, those who have been made meek, who have no strength in themselves, but their strength has to come from another, don't have the ordinary kind of bounce and give and take that the world has. Because they think they're okay, and you lose a few and you win a few, and so that's the way it is, and forget it, you know. And they're used to going alone, and that's what they think. But we do need each other. Jesus never sent anybody out alone. And the congregation is there to be a support for each other in the communion of saints. And as Luther says, this never means the whole congregation. The congregation is such as a mission field, but within the congregation, there must always be those feasting on the word and rejoicing in it who are a living word to each other. When Luther gave the signs of the church, he always liked to say there were four signs of the church, and not just simply the preaching of the word and the sacraments, but also this aspect of absolution and the laying on of hands and a fellowship of Christians in conversation. Well, we need this continual support. Otherwise, we can't trample Satan under our feet, and we shall live in our misery rather than in his blessedness. And that's what the communion of saints is for. Certainly it helps us in the sorrows to think of those who've suffered before us, and that the number of the saved is finally going to be those whom no man can number. And we're thankful. A lot of those people who are indifferent to us when we're in that kind of a despair and shameful sin and vice that we fall into when we are in despair, they finally will be saved too, and we're thankful for it. But right now we're carrying the heat and burden of the day, and they're going to come in the 11th hour. And those who are in the heat and burden of day need each other to give you a little shade from the blazing sun before the time comes when the sun shall not strike us, as the Revelations puts it. Meaning simply we aren't under the heat of the opposition here. They have no opposition. As Luther says of them, they're nice people, they're religious people. He calls them Satan saints. And he says, how Satan weeps when they fall into some open sin. But when you're hungering and thirsting for that word, you need it. And for that, we have a congregation at the village that, for me, is the greatest hope that I have of a continuity. That this isn't going to be just a one-shot experience, but that long after I've departed from this earth, this is still going to be a place that's supportive of those fellows in the front line out in the parish. That for everyone that comes in here, they send out conquering into conquer, not walking in their weakness, but in Christ's strength for them. But if we're to do that, we have to have a fellowship here that's doing the same thing. And that's why we have a congregation. And I don't think we have to be at all defensive about it or think we're dividing the community or anything else. Others come and go, but we're here for longer periods, 9 months, some of you, more in terms of years for some of you. And that congregation has to find a way of meeting with each other, of supporting each other, of cheering each other, of having fun together too. Because this is so essential for Christians that they do provide that kind of relaxation and fun together. Many of the moments in the village that have been toughest for me have been saved as I go down and play a game of pool with Wes and laugh a little over how terrible we are and talk a little, and you have a sense of support again and you aren't alone. And this is what fellowship together in Jesus Christ gives. And that communion of saints is here for this. It isn't just something in heaven we celebrate on All Saints Day. but what's going on here in the church militant, as we call it, on earth. For we do give each other that kind of support which keeps us, like those who are one too many in their cups. Or as Paul said, we're to be drunk in the spirit, not on wine. We're to be like those who are one too many in their cups. There's to be a holy hilarity that is healing for those who come by who've been wounded in the battle with Satan out there, where there's oftentimes far too little support and far too much opposition. And then we can give them the support when they're here for giving it to each other. But we can't do for others unless we are being and doing that for ourselves here. And that's why the congregation needs fellowship in the Word together, because that's the strength that comes. It doesn't come just simply by saying, have a nice day. Or like one of my helpers one year said, smile, Carol. I said, if I smiled today, this would be a YMCA camp. There are days which aren't for smiling, but there still is somebody there to give you a sense of building up, and the Lord's with you in this too. Fight it through and trample Satan under your feet. And this is what we need from each other, continually anew. We could not have made it through prison camp without it. That's why they called it Lutheran laughter. We'd sit around, we'd talk crazy Norwegian and drink this coffee that had been underwater so long, they always called it submarine, and eventually the SDAs made it out of corn, which was worse yet. But it was fun. We had little things we'd make out of just nothing, just to have a little kind of fellowship together and a little laughter. And you could take another day. And this is what we have to do for each other over and over. I'm especially concerned about the singles within our fellowship at this point. Unless there's a gathering for them, they can be most alone at times. And they can be under assault. And so they're going to be not in the blessedness that Jesus declares in these tremendous benedictions to us, but they're going to feel rather that God has forgotten their name and their address. And they need to know that he's there to help them in every kind of trial and temptation, under the kinds of tensions of sex and the temptations to self-pity that come when we are on our own. But what sometimes happens even in marriages is that Satan hits both of you at the same time, and then where do you go, you know? And so married couples need each other also, and need the singles. And that's what this congregation, that's the fullness of God, is meant to be for us in the village. So we find that continuing a new experience of Jesus himself reaching us through each other. Because the Christ in you is stronger than the Christ in me. I don't have it, and you do. And then you feed me. And then I can feed you again. And this is what the communion of saints is all about, isn't it? And we're ever reaching out in the experiences, in the Word, in the fellowship, the promises, and what they meant for us. And we restore faith and courage and good cheer to each other. That's why in our congregational fellowship, the next time we're together, Lou will give us a Bible study on what this has meant for her and these two Bergeson girls that I used to tease and call my nuns, in their work in Alaska this year, and how God has met them in the practical kinds of difficulties that they knew there. And with that, we are refreshed here for the difficulties that face us too. Mary and I say it, and we mean it. We wouldn't even want to stay at the village, I don't think, if we thought it had it made every year financially. I don't know where the money's coming for next year, and I'm thankful I don't. It's kind of fun to see where it'll come from. The one foundation that really wrote us and thought they could support us wrote us this very day in which we were celebrating our end of our year and all our budget was in. They said, no, they just couldn't do it. It's a Washington foundation down in Vancouver, and because there's foundations outside the state, so they won't help anybody this far west, we thought maybe somebody out west might. But then another letter I just opened up. I didn't open up the package thinking it was from a different person, and I thought it would be some more of this particular kind of literature that he's always wanting me to read. But they were a little heavy. I opened up, and there's two saw blades for the saw. Instead, from somebody who says, I'm going in to see the Davis Weyerhaeuser and talk to him about your particular needs. Because we're not raising our prices next year. We want to try to hold them and expect that gifts will come in to make the difference. And this kind of attention that we carry is a very real one, and it's kind of a fun one because it puts us back completely on the promises of God. And in the kind of opposition that we take, they're a real breakthrough. We've never had so many people write us that have been opposed to the village that are now for it as we've had in the last few weeks, interestingly enough. And people have never been able to understand why they were opposed to us, and they didn't say in these letters. I think partially because they thought it was going to require something of them and their congregation if they were for us. And now that we seem to be making it without them, they think it's great that we're making it. That can be part of it, too. Sort of, you know, the little red hen story. And that may apply to some of them, but still they're glad to see it go, and they're happy that they could come. And we're glad that we have kept it going so they could finally come here. And that came out of this Tealik experience for some of the pastors. And that wasn't a normal village sort of experience when we've got all the lay people here that are excited about theology and excited about the way Jesus and his Lordship applies at this hour in our pilgrimage in our particular culture. And that's where the village serves the church and where we are most thankful for its ministry. But if we're to be effective there, the communion of saints has to be healthy in our midst. It has to have this kind of continuity in the belief in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. They all go together. In Luther's wonderful explanation where he says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. And that in that gospel he shapes up this whole new community, this whole new Christian fellowship of the communion of saints, in which Christian church he daily forgives abundantly all my sins and the sins of all believers, and at the last day will raise up me and all the dead and will grant everlasting life to me and to all who believe in Christ. This is most certainly true. And that's the celebration that's our basis as we come to this communion moment tonight. As our Lord Jesus himself present with his own body and blood gives himself to us to cheer us on the way, and he gives himself to us in a communion, and that means through each other as we participate in the one bread we become one body, the one cup, and we know we're washed in the one blood of the Lamb, and that we are cleansed to rejoice and refresh each other with conversation, with a hug, with a quiet kind of concern in times of need that some of us need very desperately at certain moments in our life that seem to be simply impossible of resolution. For myself, I have the peculiarity as over against our Lord, who had no place to lay his head. I have five places, and I don't even know where I leave the pants to my gray suit, which I've been looking for. And it's an awful situation, because I have no normal community. I have no normal friendships. I haven't made a friend in the 13 years I've been here. And I have no normal family. When they're here, they're neither fish nor fowl, and I am not able to be with them when they aren't here. And this has been the situation, and so I need that kind of support. I've had great friends from before that have held with me all the way through. But we do need the kind of communion of saints that a congregation always produces in the word and sacrament, in the blessing of the laying on of hands, and in the conversation, in the promises, and sharing the promises of God together. And for that, we do have the fullness of God, and we're certainly glad to have any of you join. It's never exclusive. It belongs as much to you all as does this communion table tonight. But yet we put no pressure on anyone, and we do say that if you do join, then you do intend to be a disciple of our Lord, and you are willing to tithe as a token of that, and that money goes out into the mission of our Lord. We don't give that to the village. We give that to people who are hurting, give it to situations that are breaking through, that are weak and need our support and help, and we do it in order to give the evident token of our wholeness with the whole church and its concerns in every place of Christ's dominion. And the communion of saints doesn't exist simply for itself, but for that outreach until all become one with it. And then it shall be a host which no man can number. I used to feel so sorry for the SDAs. When I had SDA blood in me, when I had less than a million blood count, none of the Lutherans had my blood count, and the fellows who gave me transfusions all had less than 3 million blood count themselves. And one was an SDA, and one was a Mennonite, another an Episcopalian. So I've got all that blood going in me still, I suppose. And there was no feeling of any kind of over against these people and putting them down as being less than beloved of our Lord. We still needed our own congregation to be there when the need was great. The SDAs, you'd see them go out at night, and those lovely starry nights at 5,000 feet are beautiful in the Philippines too, and there's no pollution there, and the stars were right down on top of you, and they'd look up at the Pleiades, those seven stars you can see with your naked eye, and you can see them still better if you have a little binoculars, and they'd go out and look at it, and they'd sigh, and we'd sigh for them too, because see, Madam White, their founder, told them that only 144,000 are going to make it, and they're already bigger than that, so you're not sure you're going to make it even if you're an SBA, which is kind of tough. And of course we didn't have to feel that way, because we know it's going to be a host which no man can number, from every tribe, nation, tongue. And that's what we're rejoicing in. So when we have this kind of fellowship, it isn't to make ourselves bigger than the others, but it's because we are those who hunger and thirst, those who have been made meek, those who are under persecution and do get the fire and draught, those who are not just sitting on their face but out struggling and contending with the powers of darkness, that the light may increase until the whole earth is full of gladness. And nobody knows the words of their language. There are these negative ones like cursing, but only blessing. Think for a moment now in conclusion yourselves. Take any letter of the alphabet. Start from any end of it practically. And just think of the words we've got that begin with, well, take G, for example. And there's a good word like goodness in the G. But the words like gratitude are there. But then you think of all the others that you can put up. Gripe, grumpy, grief. Maybe some more as you go along. Or another word in the alphabet, like, say, W. And there are good words under W. Worth is one of them, and so on. But just think of the negative ones again that we can so easily come in with. Whine, wail, weep, worry. You can go on, I'm sure. And that's our nature. And our language doesn't even have the language of Scripture till Christ comes with the language of Scripture into our life and fills it with blessing. And then there's this overflow that is the communion of saints, the praise that happens whenever we're together. And our fellowship together always lifts us out of ourselves and our self-pity and into Him and His goodness towards us. And we need this more than just Sunday night. We need it as we go through the week. And that's what the village is to be, and the village can be that if we as a congregation are that for each other within it. So as I leave you now for several weeks, come back again for the Advent season and Thanksgiving. We have our executive committee meeting this Saturday, and it's with the confidence that as long as the congregation is in your midst in celebration of the sacrament, the preaching of the word, and the gathering together of one another for encouragement and strength as you have need, so you are open and you have access to each other, and so there are times for just plain fun, that we're going to have that kind of overflow of blessing. And part of it will be unquestionably in Wes's annual pancake supper that's coming up. And I'm sorry the rest of you aren't going to be invited, but if you want to be part of the congregation, you can come. But it's fun, and we want you to be part of the fun, and also be part of that building each other up and strengthening one another in our most holy faith. Lord, we thank Thee for the mystery of Thy congregation, for the wonder of Thy body in our midst as we share Thy word, preached into us in the Vespers, in the Matins, shared with the world in Thy continuing intercession for it in the noon intercessions, but finding us also in our personal need and grief and our own weakness and lacks, supplying a family of brothers and sisters and fathers and mother and children and wives and husbands hundredfold, that we can embrace one another with understanding and love and give to one another the kind of comfort we cannot give ourselves. When we have these assaults from Satan, when we see something that happens even in our holy obedience to Thee that disrupts normal friendships, community, family life, and we have to remember that except we hate our father and mother and our children, we cannot be Your disciples, and yet You would not want to distort and ruin other lives out of our obedience to You. Have mercy on us, Lord, that we may find in our fellowship with Thee, the kind of friendship with each other that keeps us light and delighting in our spirit, not heavy and despairing and dull, and rejoicing that we are privileged to suffer for Your name's sake with all the saints. Amen.